All right. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, those who reap draw their wages. Even now, they harvest the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together."
Amen. We are headed into deep water. I've made available for you an outline so that you can follow me and take it home. I didn't want you to have it beforehand so you would read it all, and why waste my time? But I have a lot to say. Deep water faith. I'm choosing to share a message I've entitled, "We're Entering Deep Water." It brings me to a stark realization that we can never view this world or the message we have to share as if we have time to spend for ourselves. A recent poll by major news networks suggests that 80 to 90% of those in America who were polled were asked the question, "What do you think about the future?" And they said, "Something catastrophic is going to happen." That's the world out there. What about you? How do you view the Word of God? I'm going to take you on a journey today, and you will see it in your sermon notes. Since you have those, watch me. Listen to me. And I want you to have your Bible open, because I may go beyond some things. I'm going to attempt to have you home at 12:30. No. There you are. John chapter 4, I'm going to go through these scriptures so you can see. "Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, 'Rabbi, eat something.' But listen, he said to them, 'I have food to eat that you know nothing about.' Then his disciples," this is humorous, "said to each other, 'Could someone have brought him food?'" Here's the king of the universe, and someone must have brought him something. But Jesus responds, "My food," said Jesus. Notice the scripture calls him Jesus here and not Christ. "His name shall be called Emmanuel," Jesus. "He will save his people from their sins." Said Jesus, "It is to do the will of him who sent me and to" what? Say it with me. "Finish the work." How many of you believe that's an absolute truth? Don't you have a saying, "It's still 4 months until the harvest"? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe, what? Already. Oh, my friends, they are ripe already. Do you believe that? I like the last part here. "They planted in the fall of the year and they reaped in the spring. The spring rains and the fall rain. The fall rains and the spring rains. The early rain and the latter rain. The spring rain and what? The latter rain." In January, I'm going to be doing a series about Jacob and his time of trouble with God. And I pray that you will come and attend. I want to take a moment to thank Jack, my friend, for a wonderful message last week on Armageddon. So I want to begin here by saying he was so happy to do his Father's will, and so excited that John says of the woman who came to the well, she left her water pot. She came on a mission for water, and that's the backdrop of this story. And Jesus said, "If you knew the water that I have to give to you, you would never thirst again." And she said, "Give me that water." She was so excited, she dropped what she had and she left. Now, I want to give you today, and here's the verse I wanted to wait on. Even now, the one who reaps and draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Things are happening right now so fast that the sower and the reaper are catching up. The moment the word of God drops on a willing recipient, the Holy Spirit takes the word, and immediately there's a harvest. We say, well, you know, it's going to take a while. They need time. They do not have time, and neither do you. Let's start this journey. Six statements of and principles of deep water faith found in Luke 5. In January, another thing I'm going to talk about is faith. What is faith? What is real faith? Giving when I don't have it. Believing when I don't see it. We're going to talk about that. Would you have a whole new experience with God or with Christ or the Holy Ghost if you knew next week the Lord was coming? Would you? Ellen White was asked that. And I do not, if you're visiting, my dear friends, you can talk to me if you'd like. I believe the Seventh-day Adventist Church was called to this world for a mission and a message. And we are to model truth. Mission, message, and modeling the truth. So I have no problem talking about one of the pioneers of this faith. Ellen Gould Harmon White. One time I said that, and a man walked up to me and he said, well, then you base your Bible upon Mrs. White. I said, oh, I don't, my friend. I base it on the Word of God. Would you say amen to that? All right, let's move through these. Some of these I will cover because you have notes you can look at later quicker. But let's, and I'm going to do a sentence here. I want you to follow me. The Lord chooses what? Not to minister to others alone. Found in Luke 5. Now turn there. I wanted to awaken your concept of a harvest of sowing and reaping. And now I want you to turn to Luke, the 5th chapter. By the way, Luke was the most polished writer in the New Testament. Of all the gospel writers, his Greek was the highest. And his information was secondhand. Yes, he walked with Paul. He visited Paul in prison. He was called a physician. But he writes a chronological record of the Word of God, only wishing that if I had a chance, I could live out every word of the Word of God, as Luke taught it. When we associate, listen to this. Now I'm going to give you the next one. I want you to catch this one. When we associate with him, he chooses not to minister to others alone. When we associate with him, we learn about him, we talk to him, we realize he's in our life, we find people in the way and by the way as we walk in our life. By the way, Jesus handpicked these men. Not Luke, but he did the disciples. And you know what I'm firmly convinced of, my dear friends? I believe there are men and women in this world that are minutes away from eternity. If they heard that Jesus Christ was coming soon, they would say, amen. I was walking through a store in Roseburg, Oregon, called Sherman's. Here's this woman with a beautiful, bright red dress. The white rose. I walked over and I said, hi, ma'am, how are you today? She said, it was Sunday noon. I just came from church. And I said to her, I pray that you heard the word of God. She said, well, I believe I did. And we began to talk. And you know what I said to her? Jesus is coming so soon, sister, so soon. Don't you want to be ready? She said, oh, man, oh, yes, sir. Tears filled her eyes. I said, let us pray. And we prayed together. Will you give your life to Jesus? She just came from church. About 2 weeks later, I stopped by her 3 weeks. I can't remember the exact time. I stopped by Sherm's and she saw me again. She didn't have her red dress on. She came over and said, "Pastor, thank you so much for praying for me. Do you know something? I pray for so many people, I didn't know who it was." She said, "You must pray with a lot of people." I said, "Yes, I do. I like to associate with people." And when we associate with him, we associate with people. Now listen to this. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the Word of God. The Bible says they were listening. I'm going to tell you, as you follow through this message with me, that the last year and a half I have lived this message. And I'm going to share with you about that. Now listen, he saw at the water's edge, they listened, he saw. Say it with me. They listened and he saw. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 15. He listens to hear what you say. Why? Because he's sending the Holy Spirit. Do you have a need for the Spirit of God, the Comforter, the third person of the divine Godhead? Say amen to that. And he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Listen, they were done washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to who? Simon. That was Simon before he was converted. And he asked him to put out a little from shore. I want you to see how God takes you on this journey gradually, a little from shore. I love this. I love it. Jesus could have said, "Listen, Simon, get out of the way. I'll row the boat. I know what I'm doing. You don't. I created you." He could have said that. He could have said, I'll do the fishing. Why don't you watch? He didn't do that, did he? He takes what you have and he multiplies it. I did a six-part series on how God relates to you, and I'm going to share it with you next year. He gives us a dream. We make a decision. The moment we make a decision, difficulty comes. Trouble. All the way down to dead end and deliverance. I'm going to share that series with you. Put a little from shore. And then he sat down and taught the people. How do you love the Bible? Listen to a statement by the writer of Desire of Ages. Jesus chose unlearned fishermen. Say it with me, unlearned fishermen. Do you know in the end of this work, God is going to bypass people with all kinds of degrees because they're not humble, they're not teachable. They want to teach instead of listen. I love to preach, but I'm going to tell you, I listen to people, and oh, how I love you. You are a wonderful, wonderful church. My wife and I think we've arrived in Canaan land. And by the way, you'll probably see my growth as I'm preaching to you. I have furniture problems. My chest is falling into my drawers, and I have to keep pulling it up. I want to thank you for this. Listen, they were men of native ability, and they were humble and teachable, men whom he could educate for his work. If you're not educatable, you're not teachable, God will bypass you. In the common walks of life, there's many a man patiently treading the round of daily toil, unconscious that he possesses powers which, if called into question or action, would raise him to an equality, listen to this, with the world's most honored men. I love the writer of that. By the way, that's Ellen White. Someone said to me one day, "Well, how did Ellen White view the Bible?" I'm going to tell you, 80% of her writings was scripture. And I'm not preaching on the spirit of prophecy today or the prophetic gift. We will touch that, Lord willing, in the future. All right, now let's go through this. The first principle, or the second principle rather, is the Lord uses the familiar to do the incredible. I hope you're getting it. Dwight L. Moody was born, I have it down here in my notes, February the 5th, 1837, and he died December in 1899 in Northfield, Massachusetts, 15 miles from where I lived. My wife and I visited the Moody homestead. Anyone here ever been to the Moody's homestead? By the way, my grandmother's name is Moody. She could trace her lineage back to D.L. Moody, Dwight L. Moody. He's holding the Bible up. His famous statement was, "If you preach the truth, men and women will come to hear it." Say amen. I could stay home. You could stay home, but you are here to hear the Word of God. And if I go on with platitudes, you will give up and say, "I've had enough." So the Lord uses the familiar. He used Dwight L. Moody. You know what Moody said? He was sitting on a park bench. Do you know what he said? "Lord, can you use an ordinary man sitting on a park bench? I wonder if you used him, what would happen?" Well, visit Northfield, Massachusetts. School for men, school for women, prophetic school, school to train and educate. All of the grounds are wonderful. We've been through them many times. And do you know, we did not, my dear wife and I, visit Moody's homestead until a few years ago when my brother told me about it. He said, "You know about it?" I said, "Yes, but we never visited." So he used Dwight L. Moody, and what happened? Oh, my. All right, now here it is, the sentence again. When we associate with him, we get around Jesus. It's contagious. Is it not contagious, my friends, when you're around Jesus? Listen, it's like a magnet that draws your life when we associate with him. And listen, step out of our comfort zone, out of our comfort level in faith. Oh, I love that. Now listen. 5 verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Not push out a little." What does he say? Help me out here. Launch into what? God brought you here. I don't know how much time we have in this world. I will tell you, if you're of prophetic interest, if prophecy is outside of you and never creates hope within you, it will ultimately prove to be against you. So you're in shallow water. And you said, "Well, we went down to the church down there. What a lovely group of people. We heard the Word of God." The guy's bombastic, but we heard the Word of God. And our hearts were nurtured. And now something's happening. We're moving into deep water. Let God have your body. He can do more with it than you can. Real true faith is made in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9, our weakness is made perfect in his strength. Would you say amen to that? Luke 5:4, when he said this, he said, "Push out in the deep." I remember swimming with my wife while attending Atlantic Union College. We were at a little lake by the college, a little pond or whatever you'd like to call it. And I always wanted to prove that I could do anything. I could, but I couldn't swim. So I'm out there, and the water's up to here, and I'm enjoying this, and I'm stepping forward in faith, and guess what? Down I went. And I'm flailing my arms. People must have thought I was crazy. "Honey," she's on the shore. And this lady yelled out, "Rocky, there's a stone by you. There's a rock by you." And I put my foot to the left, and here was this rock, and I stood up on the rock. When you stand up on the rock, you do not drown. Amen. I love that. Oh, my, I like that. Simon answered, "Master," now this is the irony. I know the water. And you want me to let down into the deep. We just fished in the deep all night long. But because you say so, I will do it. Did you hear that? Because you say so, I will do it. I love that. Because you say so, I will do it. I'm going to clear up something here. We've worked hard all night, and we've caught what? Nothing. Let me back up. I want to make sure I didn't miss that. Simon said, we've caught nothing. Sometimes I wonder, do you ever feel like you're swimming in shallow water? And I'm trying to think who told me this. If you're here, raise your hand. When you're swimming in shallow water, yes, you can see the bottom, but when you stand on the stones, they kill your feet, right? That's shallow water. Nothing happens in shallow water. You see and you believe. God wants you to believe and then see. I'll let down the nets. The key principle, adventure. Number three. This is a beautiful message. I spent a lot of time on it, so bear with me, okay? Adventure. The Lord moves us from the safety of the seen. Listen to this. I can see the bottom. He moves me from that to the risks of what? Of the unseen. I know this. I know this. I'm experiencing this. I know we're living at the end of time. And then God says to you, and he says to me, you're in shallow water. I'm moving you into deep water where you cannot see the bottom. If you've ever been fishing in the ocean, how many have here? We have some fisher people, fishermen and women. I have fished in Oregon off the coast of Reedsport, Winchester Bay. It was a sunny Sunday, noontime, fishing for salmon. And the man who owned the boat said, we haven't caught anything. We'd been there about an hour. And I said, let's pray. Let's what? Let's pray. And I pulled in four fish, four huge salmon. He said, what happened? I said, don't you think Jesus knew where the fish were? He said, my fish finder here says there's no fish. I hope you caught that. There's no fish here. Now let me give you the sentence so that you can follow me. When we associate with him, and step out of our comfort level in faith and launch out into the deep, an adventure with God begins. Oh my. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out in the deep, let down those nets for me. I like that. I hope you stay with me here. I want you to see something that... when you look at the Word of God, do you take it as just another book? I hope you do not. The Word of God is the ever-present Word of God, and it transforms your life. My friends, hold your Bible up. Without the Word of God, you and I are lost. Hold it up. Without this Word, we are lost. I told you, I've lived this. My wife and I moved to Oregon January 21. I'm thinking in my mind, I'm going back to a church I had already pastored for 2 years, and I can help them grow the church. We were there for 1.5 years, never had a prayer, never took up an offering. So I said to the pastor, I'll help in any way. He said, no, we're okay. So the Lord used me to preach other places. And we were renting a farm, and the owner, and I do not blame her, wanted her farm back, didn't she, honey? Oh, a farm with 50 acres, 2 horses, a sheep named Pudgy, Christine named her, Pudgy, and 50 acres, and 2 four-wheelers for 1.5 years. I said, Lord, one night crying, what did you bring me for? I'm not needed here. And you know what the Lord said to me? Nothing. Nothing. I said, all right, Lord. Nothing happens in shallow water. Real faith is between it believing when you don't see it. Believe when you don't see it. Now here's the rest of that story. Brother Dennis, we communicated. You heard me touch a little bit on this. And Ed Keyes called me from the conference office, asked me if I'd like to pastor this church. And I said, do you know how old I am? I'm not going to tell you. He said, yes. And I said to him, they need a younger pastor. He said, they had to try at that. And I said, I think I'd rather not. We're going to move to Tennessee. Because we had planned for that. To go to Tennessee where it's beautiful and just rest and relax. I had been retired for 10 years. 9, 10 years. Dennis sends me a text. Well, we wanted you to come, but you didn't want to come. Is that the words?
You said no.
You said no. That was it. I talked to my wife. She said, God's calling us. And here we are. For a year and a half, living this message. In the deep, not knowing, going but not knowing. Believing and not even seeing. Oh my, what a God. The Lord proves our potential by breaking our nets and filling our boats. What a message. He breaks our nets and fills our boats. Do you need to be broken and filled? I was reading the story of a little Adventist girl, 6 years old, in Guatemala. She spoke English because the school was teaching English. She was in kindergarten. And the pastor made an altar call, and she stood up. Her mother said, sit down. She said, Mama, Jesus just talked to me. I'm going to do great things for Jesus. She said, okay. That girl gave her life to Christ, and you wouldn't believe the things that happened to her. How many of you have a story similar to that? Come on, raise your hand. You've been through the valley of decision. You're now headed for the mountaintop. But guess what? Along the way to the mountaintop, there are a lot of valleys. Failure is not an option. You're going to fail. A pencil has an eraser, am I right? You're going to fail, but you're not going to give up God. Now let's look at the sentence. Here it is. When we associate with Him and step out of our comfort level in faith and launch out into the deep in an adventure with God, He then reveals our potential. He reveals our potential. The Lord will not prove your potential in shallow water. Believe it or not, we're heading into deep water with an unprecedented time of trouble ahead. Future in this world is only a guess, but I know a Lord that has a place, a place in heaven. Say amen to that. He said, I've created for you a home. I love what Jack said this morning. In my Father's house are how many? Many mansions. You know, a good portion of my life I've been searching for a house. Came here, what did I do? Search for a house. In my mind and my heart, I'm always searching for that property that has a beautiful view, that has rolling hills, beautiful scenery. You know, I haven't found it yet. Even on the farm, as beautiful as it was. You know why? I'm looking for a city whose ruler and builder is God. Amen. Say, I'm going there. I'm going there. Nothing is going to deter me. Luke 5:5-7, Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night, haven't caught anything, but, because you say so, I will let down the nets. We've caught nothing. Wasted night, wasted life. It's time to wash away everything that you've trusted in. And at God's word, if you will obey, there will be unlimited adventure with God. Oh, I love that. I love that. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. I love that. I love that. Their nets began to break. You want to read Matthew's account of that. So they signal, this is really interesting. At your word, we will let down our nets. We have tried, we have failed, but when you say so, we'll let down our nets. When you pray, believe that you have it. When you pray, believe it. How many of you have proved that God is true in your life by believing, saying, yes, God? I was going to close with this. I'll tell you it now. There's a lady named Deborah Darst. My wife and I have known her for how long, honey? 20 years? A good 20 years since I came to Arizona in 1997. She attended a church I planted. He planted in Phoenix called the Arizona Family Center, AFC. A focused community, taught leaders. When it was time for a change, Brother Herm Bauman said, what do you think? And I said, you can let someone else come in if you want. I know where I'd like to go with this church. And it, now listen, do not understand me to say I'm not for music and vibrant music. I love what the bluegrass team does here. Say amen to that. And that's why I love it, because it coordinates with preaching. If you're not inspired here and here, when the word of God comes, it goes right out the back. You remember Jesus said, when he comes to a house, he cleans it, you have to put something in there. Well, Debbie had a miracle. She went to see her friend who had medical training, and she had a healing ministry of praying for people. It wasn't a Pentecostal. And Debbie was in her 20s. She wasn't even a believer in Christ, a Christian. She said, I may have, but I was backslidden anyway. And she laid on the table, and this woman said to her, did you realize you have one leg shorter than the other by about an inch? So she saw the girl measure her leg. She said, that's why for the last 15 years, as far back as I can recollect it, that my legs have been bothering me. My feet have been bothering me, and I have this kind of a walk. And the woman said to her, and I want you to hear this. The woman asked her, would you like me to pray for you that God will heal you? She said, now? Yes, now. Remember, she was not a Christian, or if so, a backslidden one. God doesn't depend on you being good to answer your prayer. Are you with me? So they prayed. This woman prayed. And Deborah said, oh my. And the woman said, what, after the prayer? I felt something happen in my body. The pain is gone. And she said to me this morning, I actually saw my leg grow. Would you have liked to have been there? Believing is what? Seeing. I believe God when he says he's going to come again, prepared a place for us. I believe that. I believe God when he says, and Jesus when he says, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The nets began to break. Broken nets. Broken lives. But at your name, Jesus, will let down the nets. Oh, so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats to the full, and they began to sink. You don't want to sink in the ocean, even the Sea of Galilee. So much of a harvest that both they were in began to sink. I've always said, don't drill a hole in the boat you are in with someone else by pointing out their failures. You both will sink. Is that true? Number five, key principle choice. The Lord conceals his surprises. Follow this now. When we associate with him, step out of our comfort zone, launch out into the deep in an adventure with God, then God reveals our potential. And we choose to follow him. Is that good? Stay with me. We're not done yet. I won't keep you forever, but for a while, a season. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said what? Say it with me. Oh, my. He said, Lord, I'm a sinful man. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 8 to 10, the Bible says, for he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Two boats. You don't want to sink in the ocean. You do not. I'll tell you something in just a moment. My wife and I had a 21-foot sea ray. Oh, yeah. It was beautiful. But I've learned the acronym for boat, break out another 1,000. Maybe 2,000. But we had this sea ray. We docked it in American Marina. They would pick it up, put it back in storage, and bring it out and lay it down for us. Well, one afternoon, we went out, and we would fish out there. I love to fish, whether I catch anything or not. That's immaterial. We're out there fishing, and a storm was coming up. You could see the shore from where we were, way out. So I said, let's head back in, and we started to head back in, and the waves began to rise in the ocean. I'm going to make you sick doing this, but that's what happened. And the white caps came, oh my, oh my, oh my, and they filled. They were coming 4 feet high. Try a 21-foot boat, let alone an 8-foot dinghy. Try that in that kind of water. And I said, oh Lord, you got to take care of me. You got to take care of us. The Lord reveals his objective to those who release or let go of their security. I was okay when it wasn't storming. Do you know that character is never developed in crisis? It is revealed. Character is developed now. Here's our sentence. When we associate with him, step out of our comfort level in faith, launch out into the deep in an adventure with God, and then he reveals our potential by what? Breaking, if we choose, as we choose to follow him. Don't get ahead of yourself, Rocky. And the last one, I guess that was it, wasn't it? No, there is another. And letting go of our hold on our lives and put our trust in Jesus. The water's going to get deep. I'm not talking to you about years away. Oh, my friends, if I could impress upon you your need to come every Sabbath morning and let God nurture your heart, inspire you inside, so that you say to the Lord, I will never leave you nor forsake you, just as Ruth did to Naomi. Amen. There's a lesson here that we need to listen to. Mark 5:36 talks of a girl. Thank you. Who was resurrected to life and healed. On the way to see Jesus, Jairus' daughter, word had come to him that she was dying. And then the word came, Why even bother to come? She's what? Say it with me. She's dead. And I like this because the Bible says, go in peace and be healed of your affliction. But that was the woman, the 18 years of a blood flow. Now listen to this. Jairus, or however you want to pronounce his name, probably when we get to heaven, we'll ask him, who was charged with supervising services of the synagogue, while Jesus was on his way, the girl died. Jesus' words to those who believed that it was permanent. He said, do not be afraid, only believe. Here it is, only believe. Oh, I wish we as a church could take God at his word. Matthew 21:22, when you believe, you receive, not after. I wonder how many miracles we have missed because we don't believe or didn't believe. That woman comes to you and says, oh, will you pray for me? And you look at her, she's 85, and you say to yourself, well, she's lived a good life. Who are you to say that? Who are you to think that? I love our aging saints. Well, I have to be appreciative of them carpet that I have, you know. I read a statement one day, as guilt worn a pathway in your carpet of your life. Then Jesus said to Simon, let's move down to this, don't be a what? Afraid. From now on you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up to the shore, left what? Say it with me. They left it all behind. Can you leave it all behind? What are you taking with you? I remember a funeral I had. And years ago, the lady was not an Adventist. The funeral I had in Vermont, but it actually occurred in New York State near Rutland, Vermont. And I saw this lady in the casket. She was dressed fit. Well, maybe that's a bad statement, but she was all dressed up, jewels and diamonds. And I'm thinking to myself, where we're going, the only diamond I'm going to have is my Savior. Amen. Say it. I want Jesus more than anything. I love it. They left their boats and they decided to follow him. The harvest is ripe. It's white already for reaping. But where are the reapers? People who leave everything are not living just a predictable life. Oh no, it's late. Why not ask Jesus to step in your life now? His presence is watching over you. His purpose is working in you. Listen to this. His place is waiting for you. Why not invite him in? Why not say to Jesus, you are my Lord, you are my Savior. I want a new beginning. I was talking to Sister Dina, one of our elders here, about January having a service where I asked you, how close you think we are to the coming of Jesus. The only temptation with that is that some people get the microphone and does move on. But I trust with you it's different. I want to tell you, God loves you. I want you to say, put your hand on your heart and say, God loves me. God, say it louder than that. God, you love me. Oh, God, thank you. And when I read your word, I believe. And then I receive. How many miracles could be missed? You ask people if they long for heaven, and what do they say? I hope what? Say it with me. Come on. I hope so. I want to. I want something better. So many times I've had altar calls in my life where miracles have occurred. Oh, my brothers and sisters, people come forward weeping. Because they want their life to change. You want your life to change. But you can't do it yourself. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. as we talk to Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, oh, Father God, oh, what an awesome God thou art. Please, Father, Jesus, step into our life. Holy Spirit, step into our life. Create us anew in the image of Jesus, loving, kind, receptive. May today be no ordinary day, Father God. May it be the day, the best day for the rest of our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming today. I pray that God bless you. Oh, beautiful. Holy Spirit just gave me a text for you before you go home or go to lunch. And these words which I command you today shall be in your hearts. You shall teach them to your children. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up, you shall bind them as a signet, a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Oh, amen. Oh, Father God, bless us. Lead us, go with us, keep us, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.